Prepare yourself for a physical therapy conference that will deliver a PT education hangover of epic proportions. Because we're going to Las Vegas! This October, PT Pintcast presents the Tri-State Physical Therapy Conference, October 11th to the 13th in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
3 days of learning, networking, and, well, probably some good old-fashioned Las Vegas-style fun. With presentations by APTA President Sharon Dunn, State Chapter Presidents Chris Powers of California, John Hike of Arizona, and RJ Williams from Nevada. With your keynote presentation by Tim Flynn. Focus talks on telehealth, medical marijuana, and motivational interviewing. Okay, just so we're clear, that's three different talks. We're not mixing medical marijuana with telehealth and motivational interviewing. Well, not yet, anyway. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at ptpintcast.com. Want to win your way in? Enter to win free tickets at ptpintcast.com. The Tri-State Physical Therapy Conference, October 11th to the 13th. What happens in Vegas? Well, you know how this ends.
Advocate, advocate, advocate. You know, we have to have one voice to move our profession forward as a one group, one profession, one team. We're one big family, and we just have to work together to move it forward.
Hopefully, we can continue building value, demonstrating the value of what this residency and fellowship training actually does, because there's still a question within the profession, what's the value of this? And so hopefully, we can continue building on that and really make this a national event, make it a home for residents to come and show what they're able to do and how they're thinking.
Had a great impromptu conversation with Bob Rowe and Jamie Dyson while we were at the Brooks IHL Scholarly Symposium. Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, they support our show, and they have an event every year where they bring in residents and fellows from within their organization who are in all aspects of their residency education in different aspects like ortho and geriatrics and sports and pediatrics, and they come together and present it. So short little snippets of what these students are working on all year, all together in one day, along with some innovation talks from people like Alan Jetty, myself on social media, just giving people a nice day of taking in information that you might not be exposed to otherwise. So I was walking around the symposium with my microphone, because that's what I do, and caught up with Bob, who's in charge of this gigantic program at Brooks, and Jamie Dyson, who's the president of the Florida Physical Therapy Association, and we said, well, what do you think about the day? So we got into it with these hugely smart dudes. Take a listen to what we got out. Episodes brought to you by Owens Recovery Science. They're a single source for physical therapists looking for a certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. If you're thinking about adding that and the equipment that you need to apply it properly in clinical practice. They're also behind most of the research coming out. These guys are on the forefront. So take a look at just some of the research, dip your toe into it, and then take a look at where Johnny Owens and his team are around the world certifying professionals in BFR training. Check them out at OwensRecoveryScience.com. All right, let's do the show.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Here at the Scholarly Symposium at Brooks IHL, here with Bob Rowe and Jamie Dyson. Guys, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. This is fantastic.
Jamie, man about Florida?
Yeah, very happy to be here. We're so proud of Brooks and all that they're doing.
Fourth annual Scholarly Symposium. What are your feelings? We're three quarters of the way through the day today. Yeah. Goal in terms of an event like this, and did you hit it today in terms of through your eyes?
Yeah, so the goal is always giving dissemination of information, sharing ideas, sharing thoughts, bringing people together, creating community, giving residents an opportunity to have their chance to, you know, show what they've done and what level they're thinking at, you know, because really it's more about, you know, we always think about clinical reasoning, you know, not just what you did, but what you're thinking. And I think they've done a great job of that. So I think we have hit a lot of our goals.
Little Birdie told me that you had a part in designing the Brooks logo. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I did. I did design the logo. I started from the very beginning, and it's...
What's it stand for? We got a little taste from Rain, but I want to hear your thought process.
So it's it starts off with the outer is a shield. It's a traditional academic. So we want Brooks IHL, Institute of High Learning, to be the academic division of Brooks Rehab. And then the three circles inside stand for, each circle represents a different component. So one is clinical service, One is education, and one is research. And where the, you know, in the center, of course, where that comes together, where that Venn diagram comes together, is excellence in care and excellence in patient management. And that's what we're striving to do in the IHL. We want to bring all of those pieces together. We want to merge clinical practice. We want to merge clinical practice with education and research, and make them seamless. Like, they're synergistic. They're not silos. They're not independent entities. They're all collaboratively working together.
Great in a Venn diagram, my favorite type of diagram, just in case you guys know. I thought that was really well put. You're talking about dissemination of information. We just had a chance to talk with Alan Jetty, who literally was talking about just that in his keynote address. Glad that that is something that that the profession is working on. You can tell from your logo down that Brooks is thinking that important. You putting this event on speaks highly of it. So impressions after Alan's keynote on the two eyes, ignorance and ineptitude.
Yeah, I mean, spot on. I mean, if you don't have the information, then you know, you're not going to go anywhere. And it doesn't matter if you have the information if you're not going to use it. So the whole concept of that ineptitude piece is, I think, really important. When I first heard the title, I thought, wow, that's a little edgy. But having him roll it out was so phenomenal. And he just did a great job of laying it out there and justifying it, and really made a lot of sense, and thankful that he was able to do that here.
He does it. I thought it was a really clear message, right? Ignorance, you don't have the information, ineptitude, you're not doing anything with it. I like this room because as we're speaking, it's a poster session, right? We just broke out into poster session amongst presentations. This is an example of eliminating that ineptitude, a living example.
That's right. And it's great to see there's people at every poster, yeah. You know, and there's active conversation going on right now. So that's fantastic. And really makes my heart feel warm and fuzzy.
We talked about advocacy, and we turned to Jamie Dyson. That came up several times. How do we get this thing that we do in terms of physical therapy to better promoted within our profession? But of course, the magic is outside of our profession. When you hear advocacy, that's got to make you get excited.
Yes, and we do need to get more outward facing with what it is that we do. In fact, in Florida right now, we're working on our practice act and updating it so that we can do some more things and, you know, basically modernize it. We're a doctoring profession now. It was written when we were at a bachelor's level.
So. How long ago was it written? How old is it? Are you working with?
30 years.
Wow, 30 years. So walk me through. Are you in the middle of that process right now? Like, walk me through, like, where does one start changing a practice act?
Yes. Well, you know, if you think back to Saturday morning cartoons, I'm just a bill.
Yeah.
That's not like that. All right. If it was that simple, I think we've gotten a long way. You know, it's unfortunately it's legislation, not education, that drives practice. A good friend of mine, Mark Bishop, taught me that, and I use that line all the time. I got to give him credit for that. But you know, in order to work to the full extent of our education, we have to drive this legislation, and it can't be just a few of us doing it. It has to be all of us with one voice moving forward. You know, the panel discussion today was talking about the money aspect or the economic aspect of Medicare, Medicaid at the federal level. Unfortunately, those with the deepest pockets are the ones that get the ear of the legislators. So we need, you know, we don't have deep pockets, we need louder voices. And to get louder voices, we need more people involved and engaged.
I like to, the question was asked, hey, what if we just bought a Super Bowl commercial, right? And that comes up, and then that gets me kind of riled up, because in my head, I like to draw a parallel between communications and physical therapy. Your goal is to increase awareness, but don't tell me what intervention to use to achieve the goal. That's my job as a therapist or a communicator. And my response to shouldn't we just buy Super Bowl commercials was, I'd rather turn this entire room into an army of communicators. We'd have way further reach if we did that.
Absolutely. I usually go to the bathroom during the commercials at the Super Bowl. So, you know, me personally, I would miss that. It needs to be a constant message. One Super Bowl commercial is not going to do it for us. It needs to be in your face all the time, every day. We can have a huge impact on healthcare the way it's delivered. You know, it's an inefficient system. People are seeing the wrong practitioners, not at the right time. And by giving folks that education, giving them that power to choose the right professional at the right time, will make the system more efficient and in the long run less expensive.
If you're going to tell your kid to clean their room, you wouldn't say it one time, right, like a Super Bowl commercial. You would say it multiple times and in different ways.
Yes.
Summing up an event like this today, what would you want to know? What would you want people to know about the fifth annual scholarly symposium, which I'm hoping is coming up next year?
It will. It'll tentatively scheduled for the 27th of June and Saturday, 27th of June. We're going to expand it, and we'll have more residents from other programs outside of Brooks coming to this. We'll probably break out into have more breakouts with specialty areas. So that'll be a new component to this. And we may add a second keynote next year.
Part of our show that we do here, tradition, is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
The parting shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, Rock Tape is a movement company, tools and education for medical professionals. If you're looking to help your patients go stronger longer, check out rocktape.com. Both of you guys have had parting shots before. In a room like this today, what's your parting shot walking out of here?
Advocate, advocate, advocate. You know, we have to have one voice. You know, I'm an acute care guy. I've been pushing for dry needling. I use wet needles. You know, I work in the ICU. So, you know, we have to have one voice to move our profession forward as a one group, one profession, one team. And, you know, it's one big family. We're one big family. And we just have to work together to move it forward.
Better together, not just a cliche, what Sharon says. All right, what do you got? Parting shot, Bob.
Hopefully we can continue building community. We can continue building value of what our value proposition is within PT. We can continue demonstrating the value of what this residency and fellowship training actually does, because there's still question within the profession, what's the value of this? And so hopefully we can continue building on that and moving this forward and really make this a national event for programs all over the country, make it a home for residents to come and show what they're able to do and how they're thinking.
All right, gentlemen, appreciate you taking some time out during this busy event here at Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning and the 4th annual Scholarly Symposium. Looking forward to next year and number 5.
Follow us online, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PT Pinecast.
Love working with these guys. Been talking about our longtime supporters of the show, Arius Medical Group. They find PTs jobs. That's it. That's what they do. Isn't that awesome? It's so great when you can just say one sentence about what an organization does. I've been working with Arius. They've been supporting the show since the show went on the air. And quite simply, they find physical therapist jobs where you want to do it. Travel PT. Check them out online. All right. Travel PT is the thing. You want to do summers by the beach. You want to do winters somewhere near a ski hill. You can do that. All right. It's called a license to practice physical therapy because you can go anywhere you want. And Arius proves that. Been doing this for 2 decades, finding physical therapist jobs where you want to go. Short-term assignments. Maybe you want to test a place out first. Long-term assignments. If you love something, stick there. Arius has you covered. AURIUSmedical.com. They're the leaders in travel PT. Again, check out what they have to offer. No obligation. AURIUSmedical.com. Love those guys.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
Want to thank Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning, offering residencies, fellowship education, orthopedics, women's health, geriatrics, neurologic PT, pediatric sports. That's an overview of their residencies. Check out what they have to offer at brooksihl.org. World-class educational opportunities to the local and regional community. Check them out, brooksihl.org.
This is the PT Pinecast.
Last of the episodes that we recorded live at the Brooks IHL Scholarly Symposium, not only were the residents presenting their research and their work together on stage in front of the entire room, we also had some innovation talks given by people like Alan Jetty, who we heard from on this show. Another one was Joe Donnelly. Joe, a professor and director of post-professional education at Mercer University's Department of PT, an advocate for his patients in the profession for more than 35 years. If you haven't met Joe, you need to at a conference. Big personality. Let's say you'll know when Joe's around. We got into talking about changing clinical behaviors and actions. PT advocacy is something that's really important to them, and challenges of residency and fellowship education, and maybe how you can alleviate some of those challenges if you're looking to get into it. So take a listen to what we got into with Joe on this episode, brought to you by Owens Recovery Science. Want to thank Johnny Owens and the team for being a longtime supporter of the program. They're the leaders in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. If you're thinking about adding that to your toolbox, well, first, before you jump in, take a look at their website. They feature a lot of the research and information well before you ever jump into a class, all right? So check out OwensRecoveryScience.com. And if it sounds like something that'll help your patient population, if you want to add it to your clinical practice, that's when you go right back to that website and check out where they're instructing it around the world four major sports, NCAA, along with PTs literally around the globe, as well as the equipment you need to apply it properly with the evidence. Check them out again at OwensRecoveryScience.com. They're the leaders in BFR certification.
Back to the PT Pinecast with Jimmy McKay.
Here with Joe Donnelly at Brooks IHL, the scholarly symposium. You had yourself an innovation talk, and on your very first slide, you used something from my childhood, right? I mean, knowing is half the battle. That was the battle cry from G.I. Joe, and I'm dating myself because in case you don't know, you haven't seen G.I. Joe, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, at the end of every episode, they really try to do a PSA. You know, don't play with matches, don't get into car with strangers, and their battle cry was, and knowing is half the battle. And your innovation talk, Joe, really kind of involved that, but you turned it on its head. Talk a little bit about, you know, what that phrase meant to you and why you altered it a little bit.
So we talked about the G.I. Joe fallacy. I really didn't alter it. It's out there by some different behavioral psychologists. And so we just turned it around to, it's really not half the battle. And that's the G.I. Joe fallacy. And we're getting so many pieces of information thrown at us at all the time, and we can't possibly process it all. So knowing is not half the battle.
Yeah, you said we're receiving about 11 million pieces of information a day at the same time. What is it?
At the same time, and we're trying to process all this information, social media, emails, text messages, Twitter, Facebook, and general life, and we're only able to process about 40 pieces of that information at a time.
Yeah, and you've got to separate. So knowing isn't half the battle because you've got access to literally millions of pieces of information, but how many can you actually process? Talk a little bit more about your innovation talk. What was the goal? What did you want the audience to walk away feeling?
The main thing was that there was behaviors that we have to change if we're going to make an impact in patient care, advocacy, in the healthcare system, and just presenting a different framework that they're using in business, economy, and psychology about automatic behavioral changes, and just giving people a roadmap to tap into the context that we might be able to change, to tap into our automatic thinking. And things that are driven by intuition and feelings, that we have this conviction that we know what we're doing, to kind of stop and say, do we really?
Talk a little bit about your role. What do you get to do, in case someone doesn't know you, Mercer right now, but what do you get to do, you know, at your day job, and then also outside of those confines? What do you get to do?
So my day job is actually organizing and coordinating the cardiovascular, pulmonary, neurologic, and orthopedic residencies and our fellowship in orthopedic manual physical therapy, and teaching the clinical reasoning pain sciences thread throughout the DPT program. Challenging people how to think, do things differently.
Yeah, that's always a common thing that makes students nervous. I mean, myself, I mean, I'm just talking from experience, maybe nervous, but that's the one thing that pushes you to really be better once you leave an educational institution.
Yes, so I would agree, and I do think that if you give students a roadmap and something they can fall back on and look at the boxes, is there information in these boxes? And if there isn't, I need to seek it so I can make a better decision. Yeah. So I think the clinical reasoning model, especially the one by Jones and Christensen, gives students a roadmap to how they should be thinking and making clinical judgments.
Framework, something to hold on to when you're kicked out of the nest and you're now standing on your own two feet. Something to, as you said, put in those boxes. And if there's something missing, you need some more information, and that's your job.
That's correct.
Talk about the difficulties in programs like that, running them and being in them after DPT education.
Yeah, so as most people would know, the accreditation process for residency and fellowships is quite burdensome and has become more burdensome through the years. So the challenge is sustaining them. So with the increasing burdensome requirements, trying to get additional clinics to take the residents, trying to stay within the goalpost, if you will, of accreditation is really becoming more and more challenging for sustainability, not only growth, but sustainability.
How often is reaccreditation for a program like that? What's the time frame?
So you do your initial accreditation, and then it's 5 years, and then if you are doing great work and moving forward, you can get up to a 10-year reaccreditation. So our ortho and our neuro programs are both achieved their 10-year accreditation process, and we have cardiovascular, pulmonary, and fellowship coming up at the end of 2019 and beginning of 20.
My guess is the job is never done, because you're always working towards improvements.
So it's continuous quality improvement, like everything else, trying to, decrease the barriers of access, trying to decrease the costs, and as as we create more rules, we create more costs. So being mindful that we want to make sure that we're looking at the student debt load from an entry-level program, we have to look at it the same way for a residency program.
We had the Scholarly Smackdown. We didn't get audio of that, but you were on stage with Bob and Michael and Alan Jetty. You brought up advocacy. The question was, you know, why don't we buy just a Super Bowl commercial and we'll tell everybody what we do all at once? And you really turned it around, I thought, in a great way, which was we need individuals in this room to be advocates, and that's the way we'll move the needle. Why is it so important to you? Why are you so passionate about advocacy?
Well, my mentors from early days said, if you want to make a difference, you got to advocate. And so I think advocacy comes from the heart and your passion. And so advocating for our patients should be the number one priority. And that means putting ourselves in the political arena to advocate for our patients and not for politics. Yeah. And making sure we are getting the best changes we need for healthcare delivery, access to our services, protecting our services, or championing ourselves to be at the table. And I heard it at APTA meeting, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Yeah. My first federal advocacy forum was 2 years ago. And before I went, I really, you know, considered myself, well, this isn't my arena, but I'll go and check it out. And then I realized that advocacy and the politics part of it, and I'm using air quotes there, is really having conversations with people whose job is to either put rules into place or change rules. It's a conversation. We should stop saying politics and we say, go converse.
Have the conversation. Let people know what you do, where you do it, how you do it, and who you provide those services for. And you'd be surprised, the average legislator has no idea what you do and where you do it and for whom you're providing a service.
Reverse it. I really don't have any idea, or I didn't anyway, before Federal Advocacy Forum 2 years ago. I didn't have any idea what that person's job was, my representative or the people that work with them. So that's really foolish of me to just assume that they know exactly what I do and can do for individuals, their constituents.
And it's important to be, it's people get frustrated because it's relationship building. It's not showing up to this political event, it's showing up to all political events. And in Georgia, we've done a great job. We've had 400 to 500 members show up every year for Advocacy Day since 2014. We are now recognized at the Capitol. We have been invited to sit at seats at a table that we've never been considered before. An example of that is the Attorney General's Opioid Task Force. Seat on the table. They've had 5 meetings already, but we're at the table now.
Yeah, how'd you move the needle? Is it just 400 people showing up, or was it the fact that you guys kept showing up?
I think it's keeping showing up. Yeah. And even 2015, we passed landmark legislation for direct access, redefined our practice act. In 2016, we made it a point that 400 PTAs, students had to show up again. We didn't have an agenda, nothing on the agenda, but our presence was felt, and that's important.
How cool was that? Hey, what are you guys here to advocate for today? We're just here to show our support and our presence. Do you need something? No, just here to show our support. That, I bet, you know, left an impression on legislators.
Yeah, for most people, and now they look for us on those days. So it's been a great thing. It started, like I said, in 14, and here we are in 2019, same showing, and we'll have it again in 2020.
What do you take away from today and all the presentations? We were just walked out of the poster section here at Brooks IHL. What did you take away from all the different messages? Were there any themes that jumped out at you?
It's always amazing when you come to these things, and you know, none of us talked about our talks or innovative talks or the keynote speaker. So the keynote speaker, Alan Jetty, starts off with this great talk about translating evidence into practice and the dissemination and what we do. And then I get up and talk about the messenger and how we're going to be the messenger. What are the norms in the clinic? How are we going to change behaviors in the clinic? And then you rise up and say, hey, you know, is social media hazardous? And then the next person comes up and it's about behavior in the clinic. So it was quite amazing that all the innovative talks, without even communicating, are at the same place about behavior and how we're going to change behaviors in our patients' behaviors.
Yeah. I think, because I've seen this happen before, and again, it's not on purpose, when themes like that arise, it's when I think the speakers are paying attention to what they're hearing outside of, you know, these presentations, when you hear these things. And of course, my talk was based off the Oxford debate from last week at Next. But the reason that that was a topic, because that's been talked about for the last year, and I think all these things come to a head. So when you're asked to give an innovation talk, you say, okay, let me sit here and think about all the things I've been hearing people talk about. Now let me give my two cents. But it is funny when you hear those things pop up, and it's completely by accident.
Right. And I think it's really great when you did your innovation talk, you're not talking about not doing it.
Right.
You're talking about the hazards of doing it and how do we change our behavior so we're not sucked into the world of hazardous, wasted communication or non-communication, which I think resonated with a lot of the young people in the room.
Yeah. Don't race to the bottom. Don't try to gain that social currency just for the sake of being a social media Kardashian and just having followers and likes and shares. Last thing we do on the show is your parting shot.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, Rock Tape is a movement company. Tools and education for medical professionals. If you're looking to help your patients go stronger longer, check out rocktape.com.
So this is your chance to drop a mic drop sentiment. What's one thing you'd want the audience to walk away with? And the audience can be the people we've been hanging out with all day today, the residents and fellows here at Brooks, and of course a listening audience driving in their cars to clinic or in between class.
So I think the take home, especially from this conference and being here, is when you go back Monday morning, are you doing things because they're the norms and what you default to, or is it things that patients need and deserve? So are you going to meet their expected outcome, or are you going to get their desired outcome?
Joe Donnelly, everybody. Joe, appreciate your time talking with us here at Brooks. I don't think this is going to be the last one. We'll get you back on here soon.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet. ptpinecast.com. Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
Hi, I'm Alexa. You can now hear PT Pinecast using me. Just say, "Hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast." Or you could be nice and try saying please for once.
What is being polite dead these days?
To hear episodes, just say, "Hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast."
Maybe throw in a please at the end.